not object.
So yesterday we began the sugya of Rabbah. So I'll just review a little bit of what we finished up yesterday. The Braisa records a machlokes between Rabbi Meir Chachamim in the case of a ganav who slaughters the animal either on Shabbos or l'shem avodas kolchavim, whether the ganav has to pay dalet v'hei. Rabbi Meir says yes, and the Chachamim says potter. So initially we assumed that in order to reconcile Rabbi Meir with the principle of kim lebed rabminei, we're going to have to assume that it was tovech al yidei acher, which means that the ganav appointed a shliach to do the tficha. The tficha was done on Shabbos, for example, and therefore the tovech, which is the shliach, he violated Shabbos. He's chayav misa. But as far as the ganav is concerned, he's chayav dalet v'hei according to Rabbi Meir, because yesh shliach for tficha.
This chiluk on when we say shliach kegufo or not, that's l'kuli alma. Everyone agrees that for Shabbat it doesn't apply, and for Mamon it does.
It seems that everybody agrees that in the case of tvicha, I don't know about other cases of mamon, it does apply.
Okay, thank you.
There is another case of mamon where shlichus applies. That's called what's called the sholeach yad v'pikadon, where the shomer, instead of him using the object, he asks somebody on his behalf to use the object.
Okay.
Also, me'ila, there might be a case of an exception where there's yesh shlichus advice. So the various exceptions, one of them is tvicha. And the ganav is going to be chayv for tvicha dalvei, even though he appointed a shliach to shech the animal. And then yesterday we began the sugya of Rabbah, which really begins here on the bottom of Daf Lamed Daled Omid Aleph, and goes on to Lamed Daled Omid Beis. So Rabbah is on the last line of Lamed Daled Omid Aleph, and he says liola b'toveach al yidei atzmo. We don't have to introduce this interpretation of the Braisa, that there was a ganav who appointed a shliach, and it was the shliach who did the tvicha. No, the ganav himself is doing the shchita itself. Nope. You may ask the following question. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? If the ganav himself is doing the shchita, then why would Rabbi Meir say that the ganav pays dal vehei? What happened to the principle of kim leved rabbanim? So Rabbi suggests a really, shall we say, a breakthrough shita, that kim levi d'rabbinei will apply in the case of mamon, but not in the case of knas. Knas is different than mamon.
Wait, that's not what he says at first.
We'll get to it again. I'm just
okay,
trying
good.
To overview of what we did yesterday. So it means the following, that even though the ganav incurs a chiyuv misa here, because he himself shechted the animal on Shabbos or l'shem avodas kochavim, and even though Rabbi Meir, as a general rule, will say that kim leib d'rabbi applies in a case of misa, and therefore you're not chayev mamon, but here the case of dalet v'hei is the exception to the rule. And the language of the Gemara is chidushu de shechidsha Torah b'knas, which literally translates as some breakthrough, some new idea here in the case of knas. And as a result of this new breakthrough, this chidush, we're going to apply a chiyuv knas even in a case where he's chayav misa. So that he's chayav misa for violating Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, that's through the Shechita, but at the same time he pays dalet v'hei because that's a knas. And that's the chiddush she'afal gav de miktal mishalim. Even though he gets misa and he'll be put to death for violating a cardinal sin, but nevertheless he still pays the knas, in this case dalet v'hei.
I'm sorry, Roberza. I've heard before knas is like special, as we're going to mamon, but this is actually the first time that the Gemara is going to spell that out in this chapter.
I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and if you look at Rashi on the second line, Rashi says, "Kol mishpat knas chidushu." The whole essence of a knas is a chidush. Now, I thought that what Rashi has in mind, that kol mishpat knas chidushu, Rashi means that knas is not a compensation. The ganav lost a shor, it's worth 100, he didn't lose 500. You know, so now he's gaining an increment of 400, the nignav, I need to say. So any payment that's not commensurate to a loss, it's not a compensation, that's called a chidush, that's a penalty and that's a knas. However, what I want to point out to you is that the Chasam Sofer has a slightly different approach to this concept of chidush. And he says that what's the chidush of a knas? He says the following, that logically, if the Torah wanted to penalize the ganav and make him pay, let's say, kefil, an extra 100%, or dalet v'hei, another 300, 400%, that money should have been earmarked for hegdesh, or for the kohanim, or for tzedakah, for some sort of communal, holy, sacred purpose. There's no reason logically why that money should be earmarked, should be paid to the nignav. So again, it's very similar to what we said, but he adds another element into the equation. He's saying the following, that if the chet of gneva, and in this case it was doubled and quadrupled because he not only stole it, he even shechted it, deserves a punishment, and in this case a monetary punishment, so then the knas for the chet should be paid to hegdesh or to some other communal purpose.
You mean beyond that first 100%?
Right, exactly, beyond the keren. So the nignav already received his keren. Now you're telling me the nignav has a right to claim kefel, dal v'hei. Why is it his right? I can understand from the punishment, you know, from the perspective of punishing the ganav, that we should punish the ganav, but why should that money be given over to the pocket of the nignav? And that according to some sofer is a chidush. And he says the following, that since it's a chidush and it really defies our intuitive logic, is therefore shuv I efshal lilamdo. We cannot derive the regulations that govern knas, in this case dal v'hei, mishar chiyuvei mamon. Because in other chiyuvei mamon, we understand why the mischayev pays the mechuyev. You know, it's why the person who's collecting the money really deserves the money. But here we don't understand why he deserves the money. And therefore, it obviously works with in an exceptional way. And it doesn't dance to the tune of chiyuvei mamon in general. And therefore, even though the Torah says that if you're chayiv misa, you're not going to pay mama, that's called kimlev d'rabine, and Reb Meir accepts that, but nevertheless, that rule is not going to apply in the case of a knas, where the nignav, who's collecting that knas, has really logically no right to that knas. So that's going to be an exception to the rule. So the Torah is machadish that if you have a chiv misa, you don't pay mamon. But that chidush only applies to a chiv mamon, a classic chiv mamon. It doesn't apply in the case of a knas. Now, Chaim, as you pointed out very well, the Gemara begins by saying that according to Reb Meir, loke u'mishalim. This is based on the Mishnah in Makkos that we studied earlier in our perek, that if Adam testify against Reuven that he owes 200 zuz to Shimon, and then they become Adam Zomavim, the Adam Zomavim get a double punishment. On the one hand, for violating the Iser of Losan V'Yachet Shaker, for Adam Sheker, they have to get Malkus. And on the other hand, the Torah says, the Torah says, Vasisam Lo Kasha Zomavim Lasos Yachim, and therefore they have to pay the Momon. And that's called Lomen Asher. So Lomen Hashem means that according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of Loke or Mishalim, where the Malkus come from one Shem, one Avera, and the Tashlumen come from an entirely different type of an Avera, they overlap, you get both Malkus and you pay Mom. But the overriding principle of Kimle B'Rabbinim is accepted even by Rabbi Meir in the case of Misa U'Mom. But the exception is going to be the case of Knas. Now we have a kasha.
Wait a minute, there's something I'm not understanding. This is relating back to the Braita about Ganav Tavach B'Shabbat, right?
About what? Say it again?
Ganav Tavach B'Shabbat.
Right.
But there it says, Rabbi Meir says he should pay, even, all right, because he's not Chayav Mita.
No, again, now according to Rabbi, he's Chayav Mita, but this is the exception to the rule of Kimlei B'Rabbi. We do not apply Kimlei B'Rabbi in the case of Knas. And therefore, if we suspend the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbi, then he gets both Misa and he pays the Knas.
Okay.
Now we have a gigantic kasha, which all the Rishonim raise here, based on the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa of our first Mishnah in the Perek appears later on Lamed Vav. And there it says that Ba'al Bito Eino Mishalim Eino Mishalim Chamishim. He doesn't pay the 50 kesef, the shkolim of an onus of Mefata. And the reason for that is the Mishnah says Shekain Mischayev Benafsho. Then in the case of Ba'al Bito, that's a fee of Misa, and he doesn't pay knas because of Kimlei B'Dramine. Now, how could that be? After all, Rabbi Meir says that knas is the exception to the rule. And in the case of knas, when the Torah is Mechadish knas, that Chiyuv knas applies even in a case of a Chiyuv Misa. So therefore, in the case of Onus U'Mefata, which is clearly a knas, because again, as far as compensation, we have another category which is called Pgam, and we have Tsar and Boshes and so forth. Why then does the Mishnah say that he doesn't pay knas? I'm going to read to you what I found here in the Masifta. He writes, V'alkein ma'amida gemara sh'rabba yitaitzis mishnah senek Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi's going to have to agree that our mishnah should be interpreted based on the principle of Rabbi Yochanan. And this was Rabbi Yochanan back on Daf Lamed Beis on the Beis, that the mishnah is talking about a case kishalo hisrubo, when there was no hasra. And that was Rabbi Yochanan's way of understanding why there's no malchus here and you pay knas, given the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds that when you don't get, when it's analoka mishalim, it means you get malchus and you don't pay. Why is it therefore that now Mishnah, let's say Baal Mamzeris or whatever it might be, you pay knas? After all, according to Rabbi Yochanan's principle, the halacha should be that he gets malchus and he doesn't pay knas. Why does the Mishnah say he gets knas? And the answer was that the Mishnah is talking about a case where there was no hasra. If there was no hasra, therefore there was no malchus. Hence, he has to pay knas. Ubir arash b'shom nam rabba lo metartzis av Mishnah k'rei shlokish ulo mikomakom rotzal aminis av raisa shel tovach v'shabes lo avodazor v'tovach al yidei atzmo. So Rabba is going to explain that our Mishnah is talking about a case of tovach al yidei atzmo mishum shekachu pashtus abraisa. So first of all, that's a simple way of learning the Brice. The Brice doesn't mention a word about the fact that he sent a shliach to shech the animal. And furthermore, Rabba holds that chidushu shechidshe Torah b'knas mishalim afalpi shaloke. That according to Rabba, there's a chidush that even in a case where you get malchus, you will pay the knas. And the reason for that is because knas is a chidush shechidshe Torah. Now, do we apply that chiddush even in the case of Misa? Well, according to Rav Meir, yes. And hence the Braisa says that he pays Dalet Vehei for Tficha, even though he's Chayav Misa. What would Rabbi himself say? Rabbi himself would say that if there's Malchus and Mammon, then maybe you wouldn't pay the Mammon, like Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's no Asra, and hence there's no malchus, that's why you pay mama. And if you ask, what about the Mishnah later on? The Mishnah says that he's chayav misa in the case of Baal Bito. That's because Rabbah himself never accepted the sheet of Rabbi Meir, namely that in the case of Knas, we apply the principle of Misa u'mishalem. In the case of Knas, he gets both Misa and Mishan. That far, Rabbah himself didn't go. In other words, he didn't adopt the Shita, embrace the Shita Rabbi Meir. He's explaining the Shita Rabbi Meir, but he himself holds that even in the case of Knas, the halach would be Misa patas you up from Mamon. Hence, in the case of Baal Bito, the halach would be that you don't get, you don't have to pay the Knas because you chayv Misa. And if you'll ask me, so what about the case of Malkus and Mammon, where apparently Rabbah accepts the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that you get Malkus and you don't get Mammon? The exception to that rule, of course, is going to be our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah there was no Asra. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan established back on Lamed Beis on the Beis. So now we're ready to start our new Gemara for today.
So Rabbah is then explaining, but not agreeing.
Correct. With it, very difficult for us to assume that Rabbah would accept Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim. So the Rishonim therefore have, you know, they have an agenda here to assume that although Rabbah works very hard to reinterpret this brisa, and therefore reinterpret Rabbi Meir, he never accepted the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara says, V'azda Rabba l'ta'ameh. So this you'll find at the end of the third line on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. This Rabba that we just learned, that in the case of a Chiyuv Knas, we say that Kimle Ramine is suspended and he'll get both Misa and he has to pay the Knas, is a reflection of another statement of Rabba. Rabbah is being very consistent. The Amar Rabbah, Haya Gdi Ganuvlo, Rashi understands that what that means is that he stole someone's animal, in this case a goat, on Erev Shabbos, and therefore he's chayv to pay Keren and Keto. Utvacho b'Shabbos, and on Shabbos he shechted it, chayv. In other words, even though he'll be chayav misa for violating Shabbos, nevertheless, he still has to pay. He still has to pay dalad vehe. Why? Shekvar nischayav b'gneva kodem sheyovel lidei isur Shabbos. In other words, he's chayav for Karen already on erev Shabbos before he came to violate isur Shabbos. So when he violates the Yisur Shabbos and he's chayv Misa for Shabbos, and at that moment he's chayv Dal Vehei, Rabbi Meir holds that in the case of Knas, we apply the principle of Meis U'Meshalem, that both punishments will be imposed on him simultaneously. Again, but this is all in a case where he stole it on Erev Shabbos. However, Ganav V'Tavach B'Shabbos, now here, we have to talk about the keren itself. The keren, which means the value of the animal that he stole, has to be paid in the first case, the ratio of Rabbah, because when did he steal it in the first case?
Erev
Shabbos. But in the second case, when did he steal it? On Shabbos itself. So in this case, even Rabbi Meir is going to agree, says Rabbah, that he does not pay dalad vehei. Why? Potter. She'im ein gneva, ein tvicha, ein mechira. Since the keren for gneva was violated simultaneous with chilul Shabbos, which means that on Shabbos he carried it out from the reshus of the nignav out to reshus of rabban. That would apply. In that case, we would apply kimleib deramine, because again, let's go over the two principles of Rabbah in Rabbi Meir. Principle number one is that in the case of a chiyuv mamon, we apply the principle of kimleib deramine. If he's chayv misa, he doesn't pay mamon. And principle number two is the exception is the case of knas. Now here he shechted it on Shabbos, but he also stole it on Shabbos. That's the sefer of Rabba. And in the case where he stole it on Shabbos, there's no chiyuv keren. Why is there no chiyuv keren? Keep in mind that keren is a classic chiyuv moment. It's not a knas. And in this case where he violated the gneva and simultaneously violated Shabbos, we're going to apply the principle of kim lebe derabba minei to the chiyuv of keren. And now we have another principle. Im ein gneva, you may want to rewrite the Gemara. Im ein keren, it means, the word gneva here means the keren. Ein tvichu mechira, which means there's no knas. You can only be chayv knas as an add-on to the chiyuv keren. So for example, kefel, you'll add 100%. Then in Dalvei, in case of Tzvicha Bechir, you'll add another 300%, another 400%. All that is based on the fact that he's chayev keren. It's kind of like if you would pile pillows on top of a bed, one pillow on top of the other. If you remove the bottom pillow, or if you remove the bed, all the pillows are going to fall. Because the pillows are standing on this foundation, meaning the bed itself, we'll call it. So here too, the foundation of Dalvei is the keren. If you're not chayev keren, then you cannot be chayev dalvei. Nowhere does the Torah impose a payment of dalvei when there's no chayev keren. Now, since in this case he violated Shabbos at the moment of gneva, therefore he was chayev misa at the moment that he was kodeh b'kinyan gneva. He's not chayev for the gneva, not even the keren. And therefore, even though when he shechts the animal and he should incur a chiyuv knas, and Rabbi Meir holds that knas we can impose upon you even if you chayv misa, but it's irrelevant because there's no keren here. And if there's no keren, there's no tficha mechira. That's in the case of the sefer. But in the case of the resha, Rashi says, when did he steal this animal? He stole it on Erev Shabbos. You'll see in the first of the skinny lines in Rashi, gone of gedi bechol. So once he steals the gedi on Friday, he's chayev keren. Then on Shabbos he shechts the animal. Now we're going to apply the principle of Rava in Rabbi Meir that he gets both misa and knas. But in the case of the sefer where he stole it on Shabbos itself, and at the moment he stole it, he violated a chiyuv misa for Shabbos. You remember we had a discussion about Gor V'yotze back in the day on Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, you know, where he pulls the object out of the Rishus of the Nignav, and he makes a kinyan as soon as he takes it out into the Rishus of Rabim, and at that moment, he's Chayev Misa for Meleches Otzah. So in that case, he's not Chayev Keren. If he's not Chayev Keren, because again, Keren fits into the normal pattern of Kimlei for the Rabim, even according to Rabbi Meir, and once he's not Chayev Keren, Mimele is not Chayev Kefel or Dalavet.
I'm afraid I have a few questions on this. Number one.
One at a time.
Yeah. Number one, even though for Gneva you're Chayev Kefil, in this particular statement, Gneva refers only to the Karen?
I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to focus on the Kefil, you're not going to understand what Rav is saying. Why? Because Kefil is a Knas.
Right.
And okay. Even if at the moment of Gneva he was Mischayev Misa for Shabbos, he would have to pay Kefil. So what the Gemara means is Ein Kan Gneva means there's no Chiv Keren. As a result, it cannot be a knas, because the knas, whether it's kefil or dalvei, is built on and is an extension of keren.
Okay. Now, secondly, regarding being chayav shabbat on the gneva, we're assuming then he's just kind of leading the goat out to the threshold. As soon as he gets to the threshold, he picks it up.
Well, I don't know exactly if you have to pick it up. We can go over the sugya. I don't know if I'm ready for the whole chazar, the sugya. Remember we had Sidei Rishu Sarabin.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember all that.
So the basic principle that we have to know is that as soon as he takes it out of the Rishu the Nignav, that itself is a kinyan. There are two ways of being going.
Right.
One is Hagbah, and the other was to take it out of the Rishus. Here we're talking about a case where he took it out of the Rishus.
No, I understand the kinyan.
At that moment, he should be chayav for what we call keren, meaning as a ganav. But at that very split second, he's chayav misa for meleches hotzah. Because he took it from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, let's say into a Sinta, into a Tzidah Rishus HaRabim, all the different possibilities back there.
Would that be even if he dragged it?
Again, you always have to figure out in each scenario when exactly was he chayv for Gneva and when is he chayv for Shabbos.
Right.
The Gemara, if you remember back on Daf Lamed Beis, had the problem that as soon as he picks it up, even before he takes it out, he was already chayv for Gneva.
Yeah.
So why would we apply Kimlev the Ramin? And then the Gemara had a case of Gorer V'yotza. If we have time,
Okay, never mind then.
I don't mind reviewing that. I'd love to review that.
No,
but I don't know if I should do it now because I'm looking at the clock.
My last question, more general. You said that at the beginning here, Rava was explaining Rebbe Meir without actually accepting it necessarily.
Correct.
This Itmara Rava, are we... You're explaining it as explaining Rebbe Meir's position?
Correct. Anytime you see Rava in this sugya, it means Rava's explanation of Rebbe Meir. Because
okay.
Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with the following question. How is it that Rava would reject the Shita of the Chachamim? The Chachamim apply the principle of Kimlev to the Ramineh, even in the case of Knas. Hence how Mishnah is going to tell us that Baal Bito, he doesn't pay Knas, meaning he doesn't pay the Chamishim Kesef, because he violates a Chiyum. A chiyuv misa.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to apply this svara of chidushu the chidsha of chidsha Torah.
Okay, thank you.
Correct. All right. Good. I'm just trying to flip here. You know, in this gemara that I have, you have to flip a lot of pages because every daf of gemara is like five pages, but. The Gemara that I'm referring to is actually on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara goes through a whole bunch of different possibilities. But Hayamagar v'yotzei patur. That was the main principle, and it even goes back as early as Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like it should have been yesterday, but I think it's probably about 3 weeks ago that we did Laman Aleph Amin Aleph. I don't remember. But like I'll give you an example, Chaim. One of the possibilities, the Gemara says, Hagonif Kispa Shabbos Chayav. This is on Lamed Aleph. Shekvar Nischayev V'gneva Kodem Sheyavu L'dei Yisur Skila.
Okay.
Which means that the moment he lifted it up, he was Chayev V'gneva. And it's only when he takes it out into the Shesarabim is he Chayev V'Shabbos. But the Gemara says, Hayu Megar V'yotze Potur. Shari Yisur Shabbos U'gneva Boim Ki Echad. So that you'll see about 10 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara has another possibility. The Gemara is going to say that when he lifted it up, he lifted up al manas latznia.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Remember
about that
all
one.
These? You know, yeah. You know, it goes on and on and on here. You know the different possibilities in order to find the simultaneity between a gneva, the chiyuv gneva, and the chiyuv of Shabbos, of violating Falecha Shabbos. For example, the Gemara has one possibility: Hamani ben Azahi, the Omer Mahalik Kaome Domi. All right, so that's another possibility that the Gemara has. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Now the Gemara is going to say the following: the Omer Rabba. This is going to be the third statement of Rabba. So again, let's just summarize. We have one statement of Rabba. To reinterpret this brisa as Tovech al Yudei Atzmo. We had a second statement of Rava, in which Rava differentiated between two scenarios of a Gidi Ganavlo Utvacho B'Shabbos. One is where he stole it on Erev Shabbos and he shechted it on Shabbos. The other is where he stole it on Shabbos itself. And now we have Roman numeral number 3, the third statement of Rava. And the Gemara is going to ask why this third statement of Rava was necessary, given the previous statement of Rava in the case of Gidi. So keep in mind, as we go through this next statement of Rava, that it's going to be a mirror image, although a different scenario, of the principles that we saw in Rava with regard to Gidi Ganuvla. Notice, there's no... When the Gemara quotes the statement of Rabbah, the ration and the Sefer of Rabbah in Gedi Gadavlo, it introduces it with the words V'azda Rabbah L'tameh, which means that Rabbah, in interpreting Rabbi Meir, was just applying his general understanding of Rabbi Meir, which he formulated in this statement of Hayagidi Ganuvlo, which means that you're chayev for shechting this Gidi on Shabbos because it's a knas, and we don't apply Kimlev the Ramine in the case of a knas. And the original first statement, in terms of the sequence of the Gemara that Rabbah made, was based on Rabbah Shita in Rabbi Meir, and now Rabbi Meir takes on a whole new meaning, that even though he himself shechted the animal, the Ganav himself shechted the animal on Shabbos, nevertheless he pays Dalvei because of the Chidisha Chidisha Torah B'Knas. But now we're going to have another scenario, which seems to be a repeat performance of what Rabbah said in his original statement about Gidi Ganavlo. Now, in order to appreciate this next presentation of Rabbah, we're going to talk about what's called a Bob Machteres. So there are two basic principles that we have to know in the case of Bob Machteres, which is in Parshas Mishpatim. Principle number one is what I call on the way in, and principle number two is what I call on the way out. On the way in, which means as long as this Ganav is moving towards his goal, so he's a burglar who, let's say, tunnels his way into the house of someone in order to steal, he's on the move. In other words, the arrow is going this direction, towards activity, towards a goal. This Ganav is very goal-oriented. He really wants to steal something. So principle number one is that the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Im b'machteres imotzei ganav, v'huka v'meis ein lo domin, which means that the Baal Bais is allowed to kill the Bob Machteres because he's allowed to protect his money, and we assume that the Bob Machteres, if he's confronted by the Baal Bais, will endanger the life of the Baal Bais. So the Baal Bais is allowed he's allowed to kill the Bava Machteres, ain't lo domin, and that's not considered Ritzicha. He's not guilty of murder. He's allowed to protect his property, and this Bava Machteres is a danger. He's a rodef, and we have to allow killing him. That's principle number one. Principle number two is called Pana Oref. Pana Oref means as soon as the Ganav turns his back and he's on his way out, even though he's holding the Rembrandt painting that he stole, then you're not allowed to kill him. And that's what the Rambam codifies in the ninth parak of Gneva. She'im motza balabayas leganav kshu yotze min amachteres. He's on his way out, so he goes through the same tunnel on his way out. Yesh lo domim, then you're not allowed to kill him, hoil upana oref, since he turned his way out. Again, even though you might say, well, I have a right to protect my property, but in this case, the Ganav is no longer a threat. He's on his way out. Again, he's taking your property, but that's not enough to have him killed. You kill him, and Emo Dovim is because he's on his way in, meaning at this point he is threatening your life. And when he's on his way out, he doesn't threaten your life. So if you could just accept that on face value, just before we go through the Gemara, because I was hoping that introduction would help us understand Rabbah. Amar Rabbah, Hoya Gidi Ganuvlo. The man stole a Gidi without having the status of a Bob Machteres. Now, how is this possible? We're going to see that this Ganav takes the Gidi, and while he's in the Machteres, he shechts the Gidi. Well, it says that the Gidi was Ganavlo. So let me just explain what the Shita Mekubetzes says. The Shita Mekubetzes says that at the point in which he stole the Gidi, he was not involved in a Machteres situation. He may have actually been invited into the house of the house owner. You know, he rang the bell, Avon calling, or maybe he's an old, you know, he had a meeting, an appointment, so he was waiting for his meeting and appointment. And he took this gedi, and now I'm going to quote the words of the Shita, V'hitmin es ha-gedi tachas knofav. He hides this little goat, this little, what's a baby goat called, a kid?
Kid.
A kid, we'll call it a kid. He hides the kid under his cloak, and he has full intention to steal it. But in order to get out of the house without being caught, he starts digging a tunnel. That's called a machteres. So in essence, it would seem now that that from the perspective of the ganav, if you ask him what's the purpose of your machteres, it's not to steal something. He's already stolen. Yeah. He needs the machteres to get out of there. So keep that in mind, because that's going to be similar to the second principle that I mentioned before, Pana Oref, if you recall. He's on his way out. But in any event, as he's borrowing his way out, again, I don't know how he accomplishes this task exactly, but he shechts the animal. So the statement of Rabbah goes as follows, Hoyegidi ganavlo utvacho b'machteres chayav. Now, you might ask me the following question. Why should it be chayev? The din of Baba Machteres is Ein Lo Domim. And if Ein Lo Domim, it means to some extent, I wouldn't say 100%, but to some extent he's chayev Misa. Otherwise, how would the Torah say that you're allowed to kill him unless he's chayev Misa? Now, if he's chayev Misa, how could Rabbah say that he pays Dalet Vehei? Because when you're chayev Misa, we apply the principle of Kimlei to the Rabbah Mine. And in fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that a rodev, if he breaks kalim as he's running to kill someone, come running after someone to kill him, he doesn't pay for those kalim because he's chayav misa the moment he's a rodev. So in the case of machteres, as long as he's considered a quote-unquote baba machteres, he's chayav misa. We're going to apply kimlev to Rami. Why does Rami say he's chayav? And what's going to be the answer, my friends? Three letters, one word,
knas,
because we're talking about dal vehei. So this again is a reflection of Rabbah Shita, that in a case of knas, we suspend the principle of kim lebe de rabine, and that's the chiddush hafidusha Torah b'knas, and you pay even though you chayv misa.
Now, we said machteret, this counts as coming in even though he's actually going out.
So, hold on to that. I was trying to make you sensitive of the issue, which is going to be a major issue here in the Shita Mekubetzes. But before we get to that, let's just understand that Rabbah is now exercising, he's not applying his own rules. This is another scenario in which he's applying the rule that Knas, even in a case of a Chiyuv Misa, is Chidshe Torah B'Knas, and therefore you pay the Knas. But all this is because he's Chayv for Keren. Now why is he Chayv for Keren? Do you remember we said before that Rabbah holds that Keren is the basis? You know, if you pull out the Keren, then there's not going to be Dal Vehei. And the answer is because what was the status of this Ganav when he stole the Gdi? Was he a Bab Machteres or was he not a Bab Machteres? I see I lost you.
So,
I'm getting very nervous. If you're not answering that question, I'm in deep trouble.
That's because you didn't clarify.
Here's the question. I'm giving you A or B. When he stole the animal, which is a chiyuv keren, was he a baba machteres or was he not a baba machteres? Halachically.
That's how you define baba machteres.
Would the Baal Bais have been allowed to kill him at that point?
No.
Yeah. No.
Wait a second. I'm sorry that you have... Please clarify, the term baba machteres, does it actually mean he has to dig a tunnel? But if somebody climbs over the wall and goes into the house in the middle of the night, that's not baba machteres?
That's also baba machteres, because here he was invited in. Remember I said Avon calling? Nobody heard that, because you guys don't remember the advertisement for Avon.
He was invited in.
Kind of, you don't remember, do you, Avon?
Oh, I certainly do.
Okay, so the Baal Bais said, please come in. As we say in Israel, Yavo. Once the Baal Bais says the word Yavo, there's no Baba Machteres. You can't kill him.
Okay.
But again, I didn't mean that you should have to even come on to that. That wasn't my point. I was just asking you conceptually. If Rabbah is saying that he pays dalet v'hei, then by definition he has to be chayav what?
Karen.
If he's chayav Karen, could he possibly be a baba machteris? Forget about the case and the scenario. Did he jump in? Did he go over? Did he get Avon calling? They let him. Forget. Leave that all out. I just want to know conceptually in the abstract sense. Do you understand what the mechanics and the rules are here? If Rabbah is talking about a case where he was a baba machteris at the time that he stole the animal, then there would be no dal vehei. Why would there be no dal vehei? Because there would be no Karen. And why would there be no Karen? Because as far as Karen is concerned, which is a classic chiyuv mamon, we apply the principle of kim leg l'rami. And that's what Rabbah emphasizes now in the next sentence in explaining his psak here. Shekfar nischayev b'gneva. This is like the case in the previous statement of Rabbah. When did he steal the gedi? Was it on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos? In the previous case, when Rabbah said in the Reisha that he's chayav dalet, it was Erev Shabbos. It had to be Erev Shabbos because otherwise there would be no Karen, because he would be chayav like Gorav Yotze in the Sefer. He'd be chayav Misa, and therefore he's not chayav Karen. So we always have to postulate that he's chayav Karen, and that's exactly what Rabbah says over here. Hayagdi ganavlo. That those words hayagdi ganavlo on a conceptual level. Conceptually, again, forget about the taich now. You know what exactly does it mean hayagdi ganavlo? But just conceptually, it means shekvar nischayev b'gneva kodem sheyavol lidei isa machteres, meaning before he has the status of a baba machteres, he was already a ganov. Hence, he's chayev keren. Okay, and then the sefer is going to say ganov v'tavach b'machteres. What happens if he? Even the gneva itself was implemented as a machteres. Gneva, which means that he was already in Lodom, he was Chayav Misa at the time of the Gneva, right. Is Potter. Why? And Gneva ain't to be from Achira. What does the word Gneva mean? Again, you could cross out the word Gneva from my perspective. And instead write the word what? Karen, exactly. If Ein Karen is Ein Tvicha Machira, because Tvicha Machira, as we said before, is built on Karen. So now the Gemara is going to ask the question. Utsricha, meaning why does Rabbah have to repeat both of these scenarios? It seems that it's just an application of the exact same set of rules. The rules go as follows. If he's chayav Karen, then even if he incurs a chayav Misa at the time of Tvicha, he will pay because with regard to the Knas, we apply the principle of Chiddush Shechid Shetor B'Knas. And we suspend the principle of Kim Leib and the Rabbin. If, on the other hand, even the Gneva itself overlapped or was in sync with a Chi of Misa, whether it be in the case where he stole it on Shabbos through Gorer Viyotze, or in the case of Bob Machteris, where he was already. Even at the moment that he implemented the Gneva, he was already above Machteres. In such a case, we apply the principle of im ein kan gneva, which means there's no Karen, then ein tvicha machira. So that theoretically, there should be a chi of tvicha machira in all cases, according to Rabbah. The only exception to the rule is when he's not chai for Karen, because Karen is a chi of mo, and tvicha machira dal vehei is a chi of knas. So as far as Karen is concerned, we apply the principle of Kim Leib to the Rabbah meaning. So if the Chi of Karen was incurred simultaneous with the Chi of Misa, then he doesn't pay Karen. And now we have another principle that says that if you exempt him from the Chi of Karen, then you cannot impose upon him a Chi of Dal Vehe. And these are two applications of the same rules and regulations. So Gemara says Utsricha. The Iyash meaning Shabbos. If we would have only had the case of Shabbos, we would have thought that maybe the Torah, in the case of Shabbos, wants to hit him with the full brunt of the law and be machmir and in the onesh as much as possible. He is a chutzpin yak. The man violates Shabbos. Terrible. The halig of Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbos kodesh, right? He's violating the Shabbos. In the case of violating the Shabbos, the man is chayav misa. We don't even know how to give him misa. So you have to do skila. You know, he's such a bad guy. Therefore, we're going to say that he's going to be chayav. He's going to be chayav he's going to be chayav dalet vehe. So iashmin in Shabbos, if he would have only told me that in the case of Shabbos, when he did the tficha on Shabbos, he's chayav dalet vehe, I would not be able to derive that for a lesser violation, a lesser case of machteres. Now we have to ask ourselves the following question: why is Shabbos considered more severe than Baba Machteres? So Gemara says the following. Again, this is the logic of the Shas. This is not what I would call intuitive, rational logic. This is a, you know, the Torah has its own logic. And in the logic of the Torah, it works like this. There are two types of chiyuv and misa. One chiyuv misa is that once it is clinched, once it's established, for example, the man violated Shabbos, then he's chayav misa. There's nothing that could happen under the sun that would change that chiyuv misa. He could do tshuva, he could grow his beard and his payas. It wouldn't make any difference. He's chayav misa. We have two edim, we had asra, he's chayav misa. That's called isura isur olam. He remains chayav misa from now until his death. And that means that the onish, the punishment here, is chamur ma'od. But we're going to find a kula, in a sense, a funny, shall I say, a paradoxical kula in the case of Machteres. Again, Machteres is someone who's suspect that he might kill somebody. But Iser Shahu, his Chiv Misa, is only for one moment of time, or for 1 hour of time, as long as he's considered above Machteres. The moment he ceases to be above Machteres, he's a free man. And again, we can obviously punish him for stealing something or whatever it is, but he's not Chayav Misa. And if I might think the following, that such a Chayav Misa, which is temporary, which is momentary, of Bob Machteres, is not strong enough to exempt him from a Chayav Mama. Right? And he wouldn't be Chayav Mama. So again, we're talking about a case where we're going to say the following. Let me just go over it one more time. In the case, just 1 second. All right, I see it's more complicated than I made out to be. Just give me one more minute here. The mathematics doesn't stim. 1 second. In the case of Bob Machteres, which is only an Iser Shah, because when he leaves the Machteres, he's no longer Chayav Misa. Is Emolo. What does Emolo mean? Just 1 second, I gotta get the mathematics here, and I'm under the gun because we have to. Just 1 second, Emolo. Lo Omen Shachiv Misa. Ah. Okay, so there's gonna be a gigantic machlokas how to interpret this. And, okay, so let me backtrack because I think I have a chiyuv to give you Rashi's pshat first. Here's the deal. We're not talking about the exception to Kim Leibu D'Rav Minei, as I presented it to you, but rather we're talking about Kim Leibu D'Rav Minei itself. So again, there are two principles of Rabba. Rabba says the following. If the Geneva took place on Erev Shabbos or before he was above Machteres, then we're going to apply the principle of Knas Hu Chidush Chidusha Torah B'Knas, and therefore, even though the Tvicha and Karzal Chiv Misa, he's going to pay the Knas. Oh. But that's not the subject of the Tzricha side. But rather, let's take the second principle of Rava. If the Geneva took place on Shabbos or when he was above Machteres, then he doesn't pay Keren, and as a result of the fact he doesn't pay Keren, he doesn't pay Knas. Well, here's where the Gemara has its Rihusa. This principle of Rava, that if the Geneva took place on Shabbos with the Gor V'Yotze, that whole scenario, then he doesn't pay Keren, that Chiddush would not logically be applicable to the case of Bava Machteres. In Shabbos, we're going to say that he doesn't pay Keren and all the repercussions because Shabbos is an Isur Chamur, it's an Isur Olam.
Right.
But in the case of Baba Machteres, we would have thought that even if the Gneva took place when he was Baba Machteres, he would have to pay for the Gneva. He would have to be, there's not enough of a real Chiyuv Misa, of a complete Chiyuv Misa, to generate Kimlev Deramine. Why? Because Eini Suro Isur Olam. So let me read the Gemara's language here. Ema lo. And he summarizes Rashi. Ema lo means lo omrim shachiyuv misa pocho mi mama. We're not talking about knas here. That was my mistake, and I apologize for that. But we're talking about the chiyuv mama. That we're talking about that dimension of Rava, that if the Gneva was on Shabbos, or if the Gneva was when he was Bob Machteres, he doesn't pay Karen, and hence he doesn't pay Tal Vehet. Now let's go the other way around and see if we can fit this in under the belt. And then we'll pick this sugya up again tomorrow. So if you have any questions, hold them off till tomorrow. But the Iashmina Machteres, if Rava had only told me the din, in the case where he shechted the animal when he was in a Machteres, we would have thought that Dafka, in the case of Machteres, since he has a Chiyuv Misa, therefore he doesn't pay, whatchamacallit, he doesn't pay for the Keren. Why? Because there's a Chumra in Machteres. Machteres is a worse case than Shabbos. Why? Mishum de Machtarto Zui Hasra. So here's the only case where you could put someone to death without a Hasra. Abel b'Shabbos, the boy Hasra, in order to establish a Chiyuv Misa for violating the Shabbos, we need Hasra. So that's a kula in the relative comparison between Shabbos and Machteres. Emo lo, I would not assume that the Chiyuv Misa sizes up to the case of Machteres. I wouldn't think that the Chiyuv Misa of Shabbos sizes up to the Chiyuv Misa of Machteres, because there's a leniency relative to Machteres and Shabbos, and that you cannot impose a Chiyuv Misa without what? Without a Hasra Tzricha. Therefore I need Rabbi to tell me both cases. So at this point, again, before we go through all the different Rishonim on this sugya, Rashi's understanding of this sugya is the Gemara is focusing on the case where he was gonev b'Shabbos, or he was gonev b'Machteres, where Rabba says that even Rabbi Meir would agree that since we're talking about Keren, which is a chiyuv mamon, we apply the principle of kimlev. Okay, sorry. I when you're under the gun and you make a mistake like that in the mathematics, you know, whoa, you can get into deep trouble.